Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
With respect to the Republican process and Mr. Trump, there's going to be plenty of time to talk about his positions on various issues. He has a long record that needs to be examined.
Obama, the god of gas. Obama's like laughing gas without the laughs, just the toxins. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I don't know why I mixed the two together. Nick Apollo Forte from the great Woody Allen movie, Broadway Danny Rose, which strikes me as a great pathos, a great work of pathos. I always loved the, well, certain scenes in it. Mixed in with the greatest liar in the history of the world. Welcome to the program. Now, I want to ask you something. It's Friday, and it's the Savage Nation. And you know the drill already. It's the open mic to Mike Friday. Everyone does it. 855-407-282. But you notice I started the show with music, like left out of left field music, then a speech, then me. Every other talk show in the business starts with the host welcoming you and giving you their phone number. I've never started my show that way. I've always started it with a warm-up job, you know, like a jigger of gin for the turkeys that I've told you about in the South Pacific. Do you think I should shift my show to, hello, this is Michael Savage, the greatest talk show host in the history of the world, here to answer any question by anybody on earth and prove how dumb you are? The phone number is 855-407-282. 855-407. I can't do that. How come no one mentions that I've been the one that's been right all along? How come no one mentions that Nate Silver, whoever he is dead? I mean, Nate Silver, every day we hear Nate Silver, the Democrat pollster. He's got everything wrong. How come they haven't mentioned that the guy is finished now, he can't even get a job in Starbucks? How come they don't mention that Michael Savage is now internationally recognized as the man who can pick presidents? Answer. Because I'm party of one. That's all. As long as you know it, that's all that matters. You get it? As long as the audience knows it. It doesn't matter who else says it. And so welcome to the program. It is Friday. It's a lighter day. I was off yesterday. Would you like to know what I did on my day off? Or do you want to hear the news? Or do you want to hear me talk about Trump and this and bump and bumps in the road? I'll tell you what. If you make believe it's a live audience and you're restless, it's the end of the week. You don't know whether you want to listen to radio again. You do want to listen. You don't want to listen. You want to hear more about Trump, less about Trump. Did Trump call me? Are you seeing Trump? Did he offer you a position? I don't know if I want to talk about that. Do you want to hear what I did on my day off or not? Because I actually want to tell you about it. It wasn't that interesting, but it is kind of interesting in a certain way. It's a slice of life. The fact of the matter is, if you want me to get dead serious, I get deadly serious right away. You want me to start to get deadly serious and not waste your time? All right, Mike, cut the garbage. Let's get into the serious stuff right away. 2 books ago, I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. And I warned you that our nation was in danger of a second domestic war. Thanks to Barry, domestic Obama, and his cronies, it is upon us. But it's different. It's not like the last civil war between the states. This has been a struggle between patriots who believe in our nation's founding principles and those anarchists who are working hard to undermine those ideas and change the very nature of the nation. My show could be entitled Support the Coming Revolution, because we the patriots happen to be fighting back. My unprecedented backing for and the unprecedented rise of Donald Trump has been the spearhead of this rebellion. Oh, make no mistake about it. It's not the conservatives who gave you Donald Trump. They did everything they could to put impediments in the way of Donald Trump. But those of you who are regular listeners to the Savage Nation know that the cause, the fight on the barricades, did not begin with Donald Trump. Where did the fight begin? It began with me, Michael Savage. For 22 years, my message has consistently been borders, language, and culture. My last 3 to 4 nonfiction books, if you have read them or want to gaze at their titles, were my solutions for saving America. Now, many of these bullet points or talking points in my books have been and are being used by the Trump campaign to the credit of Donald Trump. And, of course, to the benefit of the United States of America and maybe the entire Western world. By the way, because if he wins, and I think he will save the West. He's the Charlemagne of our time. He may be the one who could save the West. He could save the West. He could save us from the disaster that just occurred in London, where the craven cowards who opened that country up like a can of spinach to a flood of immigrants from Pakistan have now seen their first Muslim mayor of London, and that's not the bad news. He calls moderate Muslims Uncle Toms. That's the bad news. So they've elected a radical Muslim to be the mayor of London. That's the sum total of what will happen here unless Donald Trump wins. And if you're gay or you're a woman and you think it's great, you are insane. Go and see the history of Muslim-dominated nations and see how women and gays are treated. I don't understand how people don't know history. But then again, Santayana, and I don't mean the musician, wrote it when he said, those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. But I'm going to take credit, by the way, not for getting out the vote. I certainly wouldn't take credit for that, but for being the architect of Trump's messaging. As you heard on this show on Wednesday, Donald Trump was first on this show on radio in 2011. That's 5 years ago. That's before he announced his candidacy, isn't it? And during his many, many appearances on the show, The Savage Nation over the years, and also on Donald Trump's campaign positions page, he lists U.S.-China trade reform, Veterans Administration reforms, tax reform, Second Amendment rights, and immigration reform as priorities. On the day he announced he was entering the ring for the GOP nomination for president, Trump hit hard the idea that the illegal aliens coming into the U.S. across the southern border sometimes bring crime with them. That statement, maligned by the vermin in the media, the corrupt leftist mainstream worms, gave his campaign traction. But yet 3 years earlier, I said the very same thing to a listener on that very issue. You want to hear what I said? Here's what I said. Quoting myself now. Wouldn't a sane and rational society select the types of immigrants they want rather than a willy-nilly wholesale amnesty for 30 million, many of whom don't even work, I said. I then went on to talk about the 30% of prisoners in the United States who are illegal aliens. And this message has been picked up by the Trump campaign. Borders, language, culture. So let me stop right there. That's the serious opening to the book. And now I want to jump cut to something, but you're going to have to bear with me 1 second. This is a gem. Play a little, play Agita for a minute. I got to run across the studio. And I'm back. Showed you how creative I am and how spur of the moment I am. I don't plan the whole thing. I take pieces like a 1,000-piece puzzle, and I have them all over the studio. I don't exactly have an idea or a plan as to what order they're going to come out in. It's a natural flow. It's like a painting. Well, here's what's going to happen. I have one of my former residences under reconstruction. It's being painted and this and renovated and the bathroom and this, and it's going on forever. So all of my papers and books and photographs have been moved into the garage. And weird things are popping up to the top. It's like corks are floating to the top of things I forgot were even in the archives. Because I have all my archives in another location. Well, listen to what pops up. Out of the blue, a photo album comes up. I don't know how it got there this morning. I mean, the painters must have moved it. Beautiful leather-bound volume of all the pictures of me my first year in radio on KSFO. Oh, my hair was beautiful. Pat Buchanan was a guest in the studio when he was running for the presidency. My hair was black, my hair was long, and there it was. But in that package, forget about my hair, those are pictures that are interesting to me, I find an 8.5 by 14 sheet. Robert, verify this. I'm holding it up on my Skype screen to my producers. This is going to be a collectible. It'll be like the Declaration of Independence. One day, this collectible will be like the Declaration of Independence. This will be like the Dead Sea Scrolls. This will be as valuable as the Dead Sea Scrolls one day. 8.5 by 11. Line sheet, red pen, markings, Paul Revere Society. This is the day I created it. Paul Revere Society. Aliens, stealing your social security, debasing our language. Your birthright, citizenship, secure borders, one man, one vote. C, communists in government, in schools, in houses of worship. We will reassert our B, borders, our L, language, our C, culture. this nation was built upon the Bible, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights. These documents and what they stand for are our common cultural heritage. That, my friends, is my Magna Carta. I found it just for you. God blew it in my hands to bring it to the show. My friends, this is a big time in American history. And Donald Trump certainly is going to be the nominee. We all know that. I told you that long before it happened. He's also going to be the next president of the United States. There's almost nothing they can do to stop him. The biggest impediment he has are the plastic conservatives in the Republican Party and the plastic conservatives in the media. They are his biggest impediment. The ersatz conservatives are his greatest threat, not the liberals or the anarchists or the communists or the socialists. We know who they are. We know what they're going to say, and we're going to dismiss it all. It is the plastic on the right that we have to watch out for. It is the aluminum conservatives. They are the ones we have to watch out for, not the men of steel. That's all I want to say in my opening. And if you care to talk, the phone number is 855-407-282. I've given you a nice opening. I got a lot more to come. I got things to talk about. I got to show you my book, Teddy and Me. It's coming out. It's debuting Tuesday in the bookstores. Everybody wants to see the beautiful book. And that's it. That's it. Life goes on. Then it ends. And then it ends, and that's the end of it, and life goes on again. To quote a great holy man, a birthday is the date when God decided that the world cannot exist without you. My friends, America had its birthday several hundred years ago. And that's when God decided the world could not live without America. And then a weird thing happened. The very people who America welcomed after World War II from Europe, who fled Nazism, came here and brought with them a foreign doctrine. A doctrine that was foreign not only to the economic system, but to the political system, and to the cultural system. And these very emigres who came here and thanked, well, not God, because most of them didn't believe in God. They were all atheists. Oh, they had a religion, or I should say their fathers had a religion. They left their religion behind. And they came here and they introduced extremely alien ideas to America. And now some, 65 years later, the seeds of that deceit have grown into huge trees. And we, my friends, are the new foresters. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICOIN. No, I didn't want this garbage again. Kill him. That's enough. Knock it off already. It's old. No, I asked for Rebel Yell. We got a little mixed up there. So welcome to the show. No one wants to hear about what I did on the day off. Well, later on you'll hear about the dim sum and the missing painting in the museum anyway. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I go to a certain museum, the Young Museum. I go there intimately a couple of times a year. One painting. I went there yesterday for one painting. I went to see one painting. It was missing. I said, it has to be in a congresswoman's house. You hear about that scandal yet? Oh, yeah. Senator Feinstein borrowed some paintings a while ago for her home. Not took them, don't get me wrong. But they were on loan to her home a while ago. Yeah, that was one scandal. So I go to the museum to see William Bradford's Scene in the Arctic, because I was going to take pictures of it and paint it myself as well as I could. Wasn't there. So I try to get a guard to lead me. Couldn't find anyone. Nobody wanted to help me at all. Nobody wanted to help me. Finally, I found a young lady. Well, I'll tell you about it later. I found out where the painting is. It's not in Diane Feinstein's living room, I'm pleased to tell you. But what else is there, I'd like to know. So, my friends, we've gone from immigrants to gimmigrants in one generation. Shall I do some of those riddles for you today in the Savage Nation? WSBA in Pennsylvania. Judy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
Hold it. I'm not in the repossession business.
I'm sorry. Okay. I, like you, have a dog named Teddy. He's a small poodle, and I've had him since he was 8 weeks old, and now he's 15, and he's totally deaf, and he's losing his eyesight. He's got
God forbid.
But the vet said his heart is very good, and poodles live a long life. So your Teddy is what, 12?
I don't even want to think about it. I can't think about mortality anymore.
No,
I don't know how old he is. He's ageless. That's all I know. I'm ageless. A man like me should live 1,000 years. That means he needs to live 1,000 years to be with me.
And you look into their eyes, and, you know, my Teddy is so wise, and it's just, I don't know, I've just seen him grow from 8 weeks to 15 years. And it's
Look, we all feel that about our pets, but the thing is, there's a thing called anthropomorphism, which I'm sure you know about, correct?
I know the term.
Anthropomorphism means people project themselves on their pets, and they think that they see themselves in their dog, which is or the cat, which is one of the reasons we all have pets, is because we can't trust human beings as much as we can trust our animals. But we anthropomorphize, which is that we put ourselves into them in that sense. How much intelligence is there is another question. You know, it's open to question. I don't really know. They're not human beings. In some ways, right, they're superior. They're better than us, better hearing, you know. But the book is unbelievable. I'm sending you a free copy of Teddy and Me, but I wish you'd go to the bookstore and look at it. Once you look at this book, you're going to love it. It's for everyone who... It's not just if you have a pet. Let's say you have a relative who's unhappy and sad and depressed. This will make him happy. Teddy's the kind of dog, I walk down the street with him, even a homeless bum smile at him. Would you believe it? They don't even ask him for a handout. Not a bone, nothing. They hate everybody that goes by. But this dog, they smile at. They put down the cup for 1 second. So they bring joy to your life, you know what I'm saying? Did you hear about the skilled storyteller duped America into pressing the Iran deal? His name is Ben Rhodes. A storyteller that lied that the U.S. officials were dealing with moderates in Iran. You didn't hear about that? Oh, you'll hear about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
I've never seen anything like it. Morons. They put Mexican flags in their lawns. They don't even celebrate it in Mexico. It's like a non-holiday for Mexicans in Mexico. Only the morons here, they embrace it. Everything non-American, they embrace. I fled the neighborhood, jumped in the Hellcat, took the dog for a ride, and I wanted to see how fast I could get to 120 in the car while listening to the rebel yell. It was pretty quick. It didn't take too long. I didn't go to 120 because then you'll report, you know, I didn't get to 100. I said I wanted to see how fast I could get to 120. I got to the legal speed limit. And then I did mathematics and figured out how long it would take me to get to 120. There's something about fast cars. I got to tell you something. Why do you think muscle cars are so popular? Why do I watch car shows at night instead of news? You think I watch CNN or Fox News? You must be crazy. I watch like Channel 754 here on Comcast, which is they repair cars. I don't know what they do. They rebuild them. These are the Yetis who can save us in a revolution. These are guys with machine tools who can build guns out of leftovers in a garbage can. They're the ones who spearheaded resistance in the other countries. These are the guys you spit on, you elitists, you Nate Silvers, you Woody Allens. These are the guys who can build guns and weapons out of leftover metal, as I said. Right now they're repairing cars, but they're the ones who are on the right side of things. That's the hardcore Trump supporter right there. The guy with the ugly beard that you're afraid of. You know what I'm saying? The guy in the machine shop, the guy in the paint shop, the plumber with the wrench that you're afraid will wrap you over the head for being the evil person you are, the electrician who you let in the house and you're terrified of. Yeah, they're the ones who are the basis for the Trump support. That's if you can find any Americans in those trades anymore. I'm not sure. But if you can, there they are. It's the out-of-work guy sitting looking for a job in Indiana, the guy thrown out of work by... your great friends on, whoever did it, whatever the forces were. You can't name anyone for that. They just moved their factory overseas. It started with Hillary Clinton. NAFTA did it. This is not news to me. I mean, I hear it now all the time, but she did it. How she gets away with it is no mystery to me. She owns the media. The whole Democrat machine is the media. Who told you that in 99? Me. Beware the government media complex. What does it mean? It means that whatever they do is good. Whatever the other side does is bad. And I don't exist at all. National talk show, one bestseller after another, and no one ever heard my name. They hear Nate Silver. Nate Silver from Brooklyn. Got everything wrong in this election. They're still wondering how he got everything wrong and they got everything wrong. How did Michael Savage get everything right? Because I have common sense. I don't have a crystal ball. I have something better than a crystal ball. Common sense. It doesn't exist in the media in this country. Common sense. In fact, Trump said that to me in one of the first interviews. Now that I think it's pre-2011. I'm not sure, but he came on the show. I don't even know why I invited him on. And he said, something to the effect, he said, well, he didn't know how to, he was leery of me. I don't have that tape, by the way. I would try to find it. And he said, well, Michael, I listen to you once in a while. And he says, you're the kind of guy who says whatever comes to his mind. He says, you know what? He says, you have common sense. He says, that's pretty rare. That's the first thing he said to me. I wish we could find that. Maybe Doug can dig it up. But the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people out there with common sense. They're called the average person. And they're the person who was sneered at by you-know-who. They're the person who's been dismissed by you-know-who. Especially by the plastic conservatives who've looked down upon them, who manipulate you. But the fact of the matter is, those days are now over. What's a plastic conservative? Think of Paul Ryan, plastic conservative. They're your plastic conservatives. John Boehner, I've been a conservative all my life, plastic conservative. What's a plastic conservative? Fill in the blank. You know who they are. That's all. And then you got the other side, which is so anti-American, it's frightening if they get away with it. I watched Obama speak this morning. You asked the producers. I started screaming. I started to yell. I said, turn. I was cursing. You could never hear this broadcast. I get very emotional when he talks because I can't understand how he doesn't hear himself talking and doesn't start laughing at himself. One of the reporters said to him during his speech this morning, Mr. Obama, what do you think about the Republican nominee Donald Trump? And he starts to talk. Play it again, Robert, just to start, to listen to the laughing. Just listen to the God of Gas speak now on the Savage Nation.
With respect to the Republican process and Mr. Trump, there's going to be plenty of time to talk about his positions on various issues.
We've done it already. We've talked amongst ourselves, Barry.
Long record that mm-hmm. needs to be examined.
Hold it. He has a long record that needs to be examined. How come no one examined your long record going back to the Indonesian schools you went to as a young Muslim student, Mr. Obama, Mr. Suetro? How come no one looked at your long record as a Muslim? How come that was not on the table, Mr. Obama? Because your friends in the media are little stooges. They're puppets. But the people are not stupid. Mr. Suetro, the people look right through you, and they know who you are, and they've seen what you've done, and they've said no to you. They've said no. Trump's rise is a direct result of your disastrous hatred for America. Trump's rise is a direct result of what you've done to our borders, our language, and our culture. Exactly why he's rising. Put everything else aside. Trump is the antidote to Obama. Trump is the antidote to Obama. Spell it out in mathematics. I think it spells itself perfectly. We want those border walls. We want English as the only language permitted in the voting booth and the only language permitted in official business. And we want our culture reasserted. We want our culture reasserted. We don't want to celebrate Cinco de Mayo in a bigger celebration than July 4th. These white liberals in the suburbs who don't celebrate our Independence Day go hysterical for Cinco de Mayo. Put up Mexican flags, they have parties, they get mariachi bands. The Mexicans laugh at them. They don't even know what it celebrates. They have no idea what Cinco de Mayo means. That's why I went for a fast ride in a very fast car that was, as they say in the business, killer. The wheels are killer, the color is killer, the engine's beyond belief killer, the dog loves it, I love it. I don't even play the radio when we're going fast. On a dark road, I just like to hear the sound of the engine in my ears. It reminds me of America when it was great. And my favorite thing is to speed past little Priuses and other Econoboxes and see their lights flashing in my rearview mirror. The little controllers that don't like anyone getting out of control in my mind because I don't really do that. So here we are on a Friday on the Savage Nation. And it is open mic to Mike Friday. Joe on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I had the opportunity to call in on 2011 and speak. That was probably the first one you can check it to speak with Mr. Trump about the falsity of man-made global warming. But I also want to say that he is tremendously wise for being on your show. And he has that, and I was, you were saying, a common sense. That's what I was thinking about, common sense, streetwise genius that you also have. And that's why the connection is so important. And that's why people are rising up, people that never voted before, the working class people, and they're going to vote for him. And he's going to win in a landslide like Ronald Reagan did in 1980 when I first voted for him.
Yeah, he will win in a landslide. She's used goods. Everyone knows that she's corrupt. They know about the Clinton cash, the Clinton library. They know her policies in particular have been a disaster, especially NAFTA, especially Benghazi, especially the Arab Spring. And by the way, this is all going to come out during the campaign as it unfolds between her and Trump. The only challenge he's going to have are the plastic conservatives between now and then. And then, of course, whoever they choose to run the debates is going to be critical. They should choose me. I want to run the presidential debate. I don't want to leave it to Ben Rhodes, and I don't want to leave it to Jake Tapper. I don't want to leave it to Wolfie Blitzer. I don't want to leave it to NBC this week with NBC. I don't want to leave it to those enemies of my way of life. No, I want a talk radio host to be one of the moderators of the presidential debate. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that represent a real change in America if I, Michael Savage, was one of the moderators? Because as you all well know, I'm very moderate. And I'm quite a good moderator. And no one's going to step on me, I'll tell you that. Anyway, we're running short of time in the first hour of the Savage Nation. These topics are, of course, what everybody wants to talk about. And we have no open lines. It's a great Friday. We have great music, great sound, and I'll take a great break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Khan of Londonistan, first Muslim mayor of Western capital. Headline on Drudge. Now, on the face of it, that's not so bad. If he was a moderate Muslim, you say, well, that happens. There are other minorities who have achieved high positions in British society. Lord Beaverbrook and others. They were not British born in that regard. They did wonderful things. But Mr. Khan of London is on record as saying moderate Muslims are Uncle Toms. And this is now what's running London. Well, we've had our, let us say, feet in the water with a Muslim running a major nation here in America, haven't we? I know he's a Christian. I get that. After all, I believe every word that comes out of George Stephanopoulos' mouth. In fact, when Obama said he was a Muslim, Stephanopoulos had to correct him and say, no, you're a Christian. I remember it very well. I'm not a member of the government media complex. I'm an outside independent observer. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the times. But you cannot fool the Savage Nation any of the time. Let me tell you that. So we've had our little experience with a similar thing here in America. And I really wonder where Obama's true sympathies lie. Because if you read the article about him and Valerie Jarrett sharing their experiences growing up in Muslim nations, it's quite apparent to anyone studying the issue as to why he is flooding America with what Christians know, Buddhists know, Hindus know, Jews know, Muslims. Because it's the land of their fathers. And they want the nation to be transformed into that that they left as a child. Everyone wants to repeat their childhood. In fact, any psychiatrist will tell you that in almost all relationships, we are all trying to reproduce our childhood. And not only reproduce our childhood, but correct what was missing in our childhood in recreating it. In other words, recreate our childhood and this time make it better. So they want to make America a new Iran or a new Indonesia, but a better Iran and a better Indonesia in their own image, you see. Doesn't really always work out that way. Just study the psychiatry of this, the psychology of this. You look at a love affair that you're in or a marriage. You look back in the early days of your marriage when you were naive. We usually pick someone who we think is going to be someone who can recreate our childhood for us, with us, only this time make it better, perfect, as it were. We want that childhood all over again, the warmth, the security, the nurturing of that early, those early days in our life. Only this time we think we're going to improve on it. How often does that work out that way? Like very, very seldom. Occasionally. But don't expect you to be. You're not going to be able to do that. Anyone knows that. But in the beginning, we don't know that. So Obama comes from Indonesia, went to a madrasas. I'm not making it up. Spoke Arabic, chanted to Allah six times a day. And Valerie Jarrett's father was Iranian, born in Iran. The spires of the mosques were everywhere. They don't like the West. Inherently, they don't like the imagery of crosses. They like the imagery of the the mosque, the spires around the mosque. Obama said he loved, he said there's nothing sweeter than the chant of I don't know what they call them in Arabic, the individual who does the chanting, inviting everyone to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer. That is quite charming. I remember hearing it when I was in Jerusalem, coming from every corner of Jerusalem. It's a very charming prayer. It's quite chilling as well if you actually live in a Muslim country and you're not Muslim. Ask the Christians. Ask the Syrians. Ask the Assyrians. Ask the Jews. Ask everyone who's ever lived in a Muslim-dominated nation. And boy, do I have a book on this. Wow. You know, I have six books stacked up from this last week that I wanted to talk about that I don't think I'm going to be able to get to. But one of them, I wish I could get my hands on it. I don't know what I did with it. I'm trying to get more books into the studio. It's about the myth. Here it is right in my hands. Not my book. I'm not selling you a book. It's right here, right next to Government Zero and Teddy and me. See, I worked it in anyway. It's a fabulous scholarly work called The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise. Muslims, Christians, and Jews under Islamic rule in medieval Spain. It's must reading for the person who really wants to know the actual reality of how people lived under Muslims, because we are lied to by Obama, who was quoted as saying, quote, Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. We see it in the history of Andalusia. That's a complete lie, because now a scholar has put together the actual story of Muslim-ruled medieval Spain called Al-Andalus. It was not a multicultural paradise. It was not a place where Muslims, Christians, and Jews lived in harmony. It is a total myth. And it was written by Northwestern University scholar Dario Fernandez Morera. And he tells the full story of Islamic Spain. And it shows what life was really like under the Islamic Caliphate after they conquered Spain. And it was far from a land of tolerance. Islamic Spain, we learn, was marked by religious, cultural repression in all areas of life, and the marginalization of Christians and other groups, all this in the service of social control by autocratic rulers and a class of religious authorities. Dario Fernandez Morera wrote an amazing book, The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, and you will find that Obama and all of the other multi-culti peddlers are very dangerous peddlers indeed. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be a moron.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
They don't know what's coming, do they? What do they? The subterfuge is over. The subterfuge is over. The mask has been ripped off the phony in the White House. And he knows it. The phony in the White House knows better than anyone what he's gotten away with, and all of the acolytes around him, the sorority around him, the media phonies. The masks have been ripped off. The American people have risen up. We're watching the revolution occur right in front of our eyes, and they're running scared. And the only thing that stands between us and them is the media, who continues to whitewash the damage they are doing and the lies that they are promulgating. However, I think the whitewash is wearing off. The veneer has come off the painted lady. Let's put it to you that way. The makeup is running. The mascara is running down her face. The mascara is running down the face of the painted ladies who are running the media. These are all good statements, but what do they actually mean? What's the brass tacks of all of this? Let's get down to brass tacks. Well, can I summarize a lifetime of work in a quick word or two? No. Can I summarize a lifetime of work in three words? Yes, borders, language, culture. How's that for a summation? Michael Savage, what do you stand for? What separates you from everyone else in the media? Borders, language, culture. What effect have you had? Donald Trump is carrying that message. Then, period. What do you want me to say? I mean, I feel that my work has had an impact. I feel we just might see a resurgence of love for America and putting America first in my lifetime. And I feel that he just might stop the flood of illegal aliens into America and turn us back into a nation that is predominantly of European-American ancestry. Shall I make it a little more clear for you? Because I kind of like it, America, that is of that type. I grew up in it. It's always been very, very hard to make it in this country for anyone. Really hard if you weren't born rich. And by the way, even for those born rich, you could see how many of them wind up on the roadside. It's not easy for them either to keep up with their father's success. Most of them don't make it. If you think everyone who's born rich makes it, you're mistaken. A lot of them wind up on the sideshow of life or completely destroyed because they cannot keep up. They can't catch. They cannot equal the father's achievements. So it's hard for them too. What I'm saying is life's always been hard. It's hard everywhere, but it's always been easier here if you had a drive and brains and a little luck mixed in. And most importantly, the unwillingness to quit. And I don't want to go into the long, sad story of how many times I wanted to give up but couldn't. Many times I wanted to quit. Every roadblock known to a poor white man was thrown in my way. Every roadblock you can imagine. I'll never forget when I earned my doctorate. Yeah, I'll tell you the story again. Here, change the radio if it's uncomfortable for you. I killed myself to go to graduate school. I paid my way through graduate school. I raised two children to go to graduate school. Because I have an immigrant's drive. I wanted to get that PhD after earning two master's degrees, each of which, by the way, was more valuable in terms of what I had achieved than any PhD, most PhDs that are granted today. Either of my master's degrees were on the level of a PhD, but they were in fields that, let's say, I had conflicts with the managers of the field, and I left the departments and went to another department. All right, so I was told by the older professors, look, Michael, if you want a job in a university, you've got to get the union card. I said, what's the union card? You get your PhD, it's a union card. Well, I killed myself. I earned my PhD in 2¾ years while working a job and while raising children, with the help of my wife, of course. I didn't do it on my own. No one could do that on their own. And when I got out, maybe for 10 years I tried to get that teaching position. 200-300 universities said white men need not apply. Now, they didn't say it that way. But the ACLU said it laughingly in many different ways, that some people will just have to put their careers on hold so that others may advance. And look how great the academy is today with those who have advanced. Take a look at the filth and the propaganda that has replaced, let us say, true learning and scholarship in the universities. Take a look at the filth and garbage that is passed off as scholarship today. It's because men like me, tens of thousands of men like me, were denied entrance into the academy. And I say thank God. I say thank God. But what I'm saying to you is don't think that this long fall up has been easy. This long fall up has not been an easy ride for me. I wasn't on an electroglide getting where I am. I had to fight for everything I have, and I have to fight every day for everything I have. I'm only one word away from extermination on radio. We live on the tightrope here in talk radio. All of us do. We're one word away from the end of our careers. So I choose it. I choose this life. I like the tension. I like the dynamic tension. It forces me to think clearly. And it forces me to use words very, very sparingly. You may think I just talk and I don't think about what I say. But every word is carefully selected because we're only one word away from self-destruction. Let's put it to you that way. Any one of our words could be a hand grenade if we're not careful. So where does that leave us with regard to the politics of today? Well, for 20 years, I was doing what I'm doing today, which is, hey, borders, language, culture. Always bold, always winning, as the poster says on the Cumulus promotional. The Savage Nation, always bold, always winning. Champion for America's borders, language, and culture. But the fact of the matter is, I was laughed at by most people in the media. I was dismissed. I didn't exist. He's marginal. He doesn't speak for anyone. He's got a big audience. How do you get where he wants? How come they buy? They're a bunch of nuts. Well, who buys his books? They're all racists. They're all bigots. You don't think they say that? They're still saying it. Losers like this guy in Hollywood who created, that sitcom that made him $1 billion. Another putz from Hollywood. Another Brooklyn Bolshevik. What's his name? Rob Reiner. A corned beef and salami guy. Rob Reiner says Trump supporters are racist. You ever hear anything like this? In other words, everyone who supports Trump is a racist to this human salami. When director Rob Reiner appeared on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks Thursday show to discuss his new film, the infamously bigoted director couldn't stay away from politics. The conversation quickly turned to Donald Trump, and Reiner, the human salami, was asked by the Morning Joe anchor, whatever his name is, there are millions and millions of people who do not watch this show that actually like what they hear from Donald Trump, and they aren't taking messages and orders from us in the media, but they listen to what he says for themselves and vote for him. How do you explain that? The human salami shoots back, there are a lot of people who are racist. So the host says, oh my God, did you just say that? Yeah, because they believe it. Do we have that soundbite? Yeah, let's hear it. I want to actually hear it. Let's hear it.
How do you explain the millions and millions of people who do not watch this show, who actually like what they hear from Donald Trump and aren't taking messages and orders from us in the media, but they listen to what he says for themselves and vote for him? How do you explain that?
Well, there are a lot of people who are racist.
Oh, my God. Did you just say that?
I'm not saying...
No, you just said that.
Well, that's true.
That's Hollywood. That's Brooklyn. That's the Upper East Side of Manhattan. That's the bigotry of the so-called liberal. That's the true face of the progressives. They are the racists. They are the bigots. In other words, they are Bernie Sanders. Who do you think supports Bernie Sanders with money? It's human salamis like Rob Reiner. Guy got lucky with one television show. Then they made him into a genius, and he made one movie after another. Again, a genius, a grotesque genius. But he is a political fool to say that all people who vote for Trump are racist. But my friends, I heard the same thing about my show for the last 20-some-odd years. Oh, Savage? Yeah, well, anyone who listens to him is a racist. Well, wait a minute, how could you say that about millions of people? How do you know all of them? They're all racist. I know. I'm from Brooklyn. I know everything. Just ask me, I'll tell you. Believe me, I know. I mean, look at the money I made in Hollywood. What, do you think I'm stupid? You think I'm dumb? All right, I know the attitude. I ran away from it. I know the type. They're the worst people on the planet. The most bigoted, small-minded people on earth. That's who Rob Reiner is. That's all. Next case. Bring him into Judge Savage's courtroom here. So where do we go from here? From immigrants to gimmigrants in one generation. Let's go to the callers is where we're going to go. Eric, on my hometown station of KSFO in San Francisco, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Michael. I was actually going to compare you to Thomas Paine, having recently read Common Sense, a pamphlet he wrote in 1776.
Yeah, but didn't he say "Give me liberty"? Or didn't he say "Give me liberty" or "Give me death"? Wasn't that him?
That was him. But
then don't compare me with him. That's like more of a curse than it is a blessing.
Well, listen to one sentence. In the following pages, I offer nothing more than simple facts, plain arguments, and common sense. I think
very nice. Yeah, that's a nice one. But please, the "Give me liberty" or "Give me death." You got to do very quietly because they're liable to be listening in the White House.
I think, Michael, I think they have you on in the White House every hour of your show. There's no.
They probably have a room devoted to talk radio. I would think they have a girl from Columbia University School of Humanities or ethnic studies who they hired probably to listen to the radio and monitor it. They don't have to do it. Media Matters, the fascist organization, does it for them and sends them the reports. The nice boys. The nice boys at Media Matters. Oh, my God. When Donald becomes president, Donald Trump, listen to me. If you're listening, your people are listening. There's a lot of people out there who are pure evil, and you got to shut them down. You got to close them down. You got to look into them. You got to get even for all of us who suffered from them all these years. My friends, I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero because it's still a viable book. Yeah, there's so many people who've done so much damage to the truth in this country. I wonder if we will actually see justice if Donald Trump becomes president. I wonder if we'll actually see a revival of such groups as the House Un-American Activities Committee, where individuals, I can name 12 people who should go before a UAC of today. House Un-American Activities Committee, do you know what fear that puts in the heart of the communists who've been trying to overturn this country and turn us into something else? Let's put it to you that way. Do you know what that means? I say, well, come on now, that's fascistic. Really? You mean what they're doing is not fascistic? You mean the controlling of our speech through boycotts and through false righteous indignation and the control of the media? That's not fascistic. I think we need a house cleaning. I think this country needs a thorough house cleaning. And I think that the new House of Representatives, come next year, once it's formed, the new Congress, should immediately consider a House of Un-American Activities Committee hearing. What do you think about that? Is that too controversial? This is my idea, no one else's. This is not Donald Trump's idea. Don't confuse. Oh, Trump said, no, he didn't say it, I said it. What was wrong with the House of Un-American Activities Committee? I'd like to hear from a good liberal. I know that they're going crazy right now. I could just see it right now. They're going nuts. They called Woody Allen, who doesn't have a radio or a computer, never sent an email in his life, but he's a political genius. Another one, never sent an email, Woody Allen. Classic New York liberal. Doesn't know what's going on outside his own screening room, and he's still marching as though it's 1930 and it's cool to be a socialist communist. Has no idea about what the Muslims are doing to Christians or Jews in the Middle East, and he could care less. And why do I pick on Woody Allen? A, because he's big enough to be picked on, and B, because he is the ultimate embodiment of everything wrong with the American liberal mind. That's the cartoon image of the American schlemiel. Okay, you get the picture? Would you like to talk to me and everyone else? The phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the fact that nationalism is on the rise no matter what the Pope says. Welcome to the program. KLIF, Dallas, Texas. Dolly, you're up. Short segment, fire away.
Hi. Well, I kind of like the Un-Americans activity, but it seems to me that we have people who stay in the government between Republican president, Democrat president, like the State Department. They do not fight for America. They seem to fight against America in every way that they can.
The number one person on the list would be Barack Obama and his anti-Americanism, which is exhibited by almost all of his activities since he became president. Number two on the list would be John Kerry, who lied about the Iran deal to sell it. He lied through his face. He looked like a liar. He sounded like a liar. Now it came out that he was lying about the Iran deal. If you go to my website, michaelsavage.com, I think it's still up there. There it is. The skilled storyteller duped America into passing the Iran deal. He lied that U.S. officials were dealing with moderates in Iran when they knew all along that the Iranians had no moderates. And the man's name is Ben Rhodes. He would be number three on the docket in the House of Un-American Activities Committee. Number one, Obama, for lying about the Iran deal, knowingly lying. John Kerry, number two. New York Post, lead story. White House admits that played us for fools to sell Iran deal. The Obama administration cooked up a phony story to sell Americans on the Iranian nuke deal, lying that U.S. officials were dealing with moderates in the Islamic theocracy who could be trusted to keep their word. It was reported yesterday in a revealing article posted on the New York Times website. President Obama's foreign policy lying lying sack of guru, Ben Rhodes, bragged about how he helped create the false narrative because the public would not have accepted the deal had it known that Iranian hardliners were still calling the shots. Well, let me tell you something, Benny boy. I'm part of the public, and I knew you were a liar. And I knew your boss has been a liar from the day he was could walk. The day he could move his tongue, he was a liar. The White House line, which Rhodes says he created, was that Obama started negotiations after the supposedly moderate Hassan Rouhani was elected in 2013. But Obama had set his sights on working out a deal with the Mad Mullahs as early as 08. You hear this? 08? You mean he came into office to do the deal? Now you got the rest of the story. He was handpicked to do the deal, you fools, you! And who is Valerie Jarrett? Where did this unknown ghost come from? This man, this administration, was handpicked by foreign powers who manipulated him into the presidency. And because of Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer and the other liars in the media, he has been able to get away with virtual murder. The murder of the truth, the murder of our national security.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Okay, my friends, Trump says I don't need GOP unity to win. Well, that was a while ago. He won. Friday, 06 May, 2016. Paul Ryan spoils Trump's victory by withholding endorsement. Of course, Paul Ryan has always been a plastic conservative, so I'm not shocked by him. He's very comfortable on both sides of the aisle because he stands for nothing. Sunday, May 1, 2016, that's a week ago. The whole world has changed since he won the primary, and Cruz dropped out. Some are saying he really didn't drop out. He's just waiting. I don't believe that. I think he's gone. The fact of the matter is Paul Ryan represents the silent movies. You know, when talkies came in, talking pictures, there were people wed to the silent movie. The directors, the actors, the writers of the silent movies said those talkies will never catch on. And they continued to promote and produce silent movies. Did you know this? They said, them talkies, they'll never catch on. The people don't want to listen to dialogue in movie theaters. They want to read and listen to music while the actors talk. They don't want to actually hear their voices. They don't want to be disturbed by the voices of the actors. They want to imagine what the actors sound like. That was actually said. So Paul Ryan is a sort of a movie director from the silent movie era. He still thinks that the people are dumb and they don't want to actually hear the voices of the politicians. He speaks for the politicians. It's a good analogy. It holds up. I would elaborate on it if I had the time, but I think you get the picture. Fill it in on your own. Fill it in amongst yourselves. But it's a good analogy. Ryan's a nonentity, means nothing. He'll be gone before long. He's always been a lobbyist. He'll continue to be a lobbyist, and he doesn't represent the American people. Now let's go to the callers. WABC in New York. Stuart, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me on, Michael. I agree with a lot of what you say, but the idea of a House on American Activities Committee is all wrong. We tried that in the 50s. My dad lived through that, and it would turn out to be a witch hunt. We ruined a lot of lives about that. And I'm with you on the America First. And
Stuart, I love your call because you grew up in a progressive or liberal or almost socialist communist household. I get it. And you now have come to see that America is our last great hope. I get that as well. And I know many lives were, let us say, seriously challenged during the McCarthy era. But I want to ask you something. Have you read the Venona Papers, the Soviet era secret correspondence, which came out, I don't know, 15 years ago, which confirmed that almost everything that McCarthy was saying about the news media and Hollywood was true, that there were communists who were openly subverting America?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I know that there were communists in the government. I know that there was a threat to national security, but I also know that a lot of people were afraid to speak their mind. I also know a lot of people were afraid to.
Was your father innocent? In your opinion, did he not have? Never mind liberal leanings. That was pretty typical in New York. Was he a fellow traveler with any communist organizations?
Absolutely not. My father was. If my father was alive today, he'd be a Republican.
Oh, that's funny. That's a funny line.
It's not funny. It's true.
No, but how? I'll bet you $1 million that if you told that to some of your old line Democrat friends, they wouldn't believe you.
No, I can't believe you're saying this to me because I've been an independent my whole life. I've never been associated with a political party. And don't hang that on me, Michael, because it's the farthest thing possible from the truth. We've had other conversations about ISIS and terrorists. I've been on this program before, and we were of one mind. So I am not your liberal, Democrat, socialist, communist. So I don't know what you're talking about.
But Stuart, you're confusing me a little bit. Your father was certainly to the left of center politically, right?
He grew up in a Democrat household, but he evolved very much like you, and he fought.
Well, that's quite something. So, in what kind of work was he in that he was called before UAC?
What kind of work was he in?
Yeah, you said his life was ruined by the House of Un-American Activities Committee.
No, I didn't say that. I said that he. I said he was alive during that period, and he knew what was going on. And his take on it was that a lot of lives were ruined and a lot of people were afraid to speak out about anything.
All right, now, this is an interesting subject, which is why I brought it up. I'm a controversial talk show host, and I bring up controversial ideas for a reason. Why don't we explore that? Can anyone listening to the show who is a progressive leftist, whatever you want to call yourself, tell me whose life was actually ruined by UAC, who was not really working to subvert America, who was not really a communist or a fellow traveler? I'd like to know whose life was ruined. Because that's, I think, a myth that lives were ruined of innocent people. I know there were movies made, remember, with Zero Mostel, of an innocent actor who jumped out of a window because the House of Un-American Activities Committee was after him. And Hollywood's done many, many movies about the Red List, and we hear about the Red List. How many innocent people's lives are actually ruined? I'd like to know their names. But, Stuart, I really love your call. Is there anything else you'd like to say before I give you a copy of Teddy and Me? No, sorry. You don't sound like a Teddy and Me guy. I bet you don't even have a pet.
No, but I was close to two dogs, but Teddy and Me would be fine.
All right. I didn't know. You don't sound like a Teddy and Me kind of. You don't sound like a warm and fuzzy guy. You sound like a tough, big guy. How tall are you, like 6'3"?
No, but thank you for that comment.
You have such a great voice. I'm trying to envision. You know, when I get calls, I try to envision them, what they look like. You sound like 240, 6'3".
Really? I'm about 5'8 and 150.
Oh, you're in good shape. So, what are you? Do you exercise or what?
Oh, yes. I'm a former competitive swimmer, and I work out.
Pretty amazing. Are you in good health?
Yeah.
It's like a weird kind. It's almost creepy, the conversation. I get it. I get borderline creepy. It's not creepy. I'm just curious how voices relate to the actual body type. I'll never forget. You got to hear the story, Stuart. You'll love it. I first started in radio, San Francisco, 94. So I have a lucky, I have a great voice, beautiful voice. So I go up to North Beach, the Italian district of San Francisco, and I go into a restaurant there that the owner's dead. He was a friend of mine over the years. Lorenzo Petroni, a strong, tough Italian guy. He was an immigrant, came over from Europe, worked his way up out of the garbage, built a beautiful restaurant. So I walk in his restaurant, and I come in, and I said, I'm Michael Savage. He says, I thought you'd be a 6'5". So I said to him, inside I'm 7'6". We became instant friends. You know, people hear a voice, and they connect it to a person. Now, the person is actually projected by the voice, but their physical body often doesn't match the voice. You agree with that, Stuart?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
I think the instrument called the voice represents the individual quite well, but it doesn't often match the physical body. It's just a simple side note of conversational stuff, Stuart. Stuart, you're a New Yorker. You listen to me on WABC. Would you say that this show is more New York-centric or San Francisco-centric?
New York-centric.
Yeah, I'm more. You see, that's the thing. If you were to say, where is Michael Savage from, people would say New York. I am New York. I'm more New York than most people who broadcast in New York. But thanks for calling. Stay on the line. Teddy and me goes out to you. This is the Savage Nation. KSFO Mike, thanks for calling. Make your point, please.
Yeah, I'm kind of almost like Stuart, but I do believe like 98% of what you say I agree with. I've been listening for 20 years now. I'm here in San Jose. Well, my opinion is that we may, if we have that kind of thing, we may open up a can of worms on both sides of the fence, if you know what I mean.
Well, the House Un-American Activities Committee, UAC, was an investigative committee that was formed by the U.S. House of Reps. And it was originally created, people don't know this, in 1938 to uncover citizens with Nazi ties inside the United States. And then it expanded its efforts, investigating possible Communist Party infiltration. But the original intent was to find citizens in America with Nazi ties. No one remembers that. Now, if I were to revitalize and to suggest that we have a new UAC, I would investigate people with Islamist ties inside the United States. Who would object to that?
Not me.
I'm sorry, you would tell me why. I'd like to hear why.
No, I wouldn't object to that, but I would object to actually going after a lot of the politicians, because what the problem is now is that we already have these two sides that are basically going to be hard to work with Trump. We don't want to get people ugly. We don't want it to get ugly until Trump gets a chance to actually do something. You know, at the very end, like Obama's doing, he can do the ugly stuff, but we need to get Trump to.
All right, you make it so strategically, you would uncover those with Islamist or anti-American connections until late in the Trump presidency.
Well,
I don't know if we have that. I don't think we have that leisure. Mike,
I would do it.
I don't think we have that leisure. I believe there are many Julius and Ethel Rosenbergs amongst us who would gladly see a dirty bomb go off in this country. And I stand by those words. We do not have the time. The time bomb is ticking. The Islamists are everywhere in this country, from the highest office in the land all the way down to the local street level. How do I know that? Because the FBI told us that 6 months ago. They have over 1,000 active investigations, and they can't arrest these people. They have to let them kill somebody before they can even look at them. And take a look at what happened in San Bernardino. They were on a watch list, and they could not stop them because we're all so intimidated by the human rights lawyers who are going to kill us all. No, I think it's long overdue that we had an investigation before the dirty bomb goes off, not after it, my friend. Oh, I know that it's an insensitive suggestion. I know that it will rankle all of the sniffing liberal politicians in the corridors of power. How dare that loudmouth talk show host suggest such a barbaric thing, such as a new UAC? Well, they are the very people who we need to discuss. They are the very people who have brought us to this point of almost no return. And I'll remind you of something. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were American citizens who were tried for, convicted, and executed for conspiracy to commit espionage. Were they innocent? No. They were instrumental in passing of information about the atomic bomb to the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, and that speeded the development of Soviet nuclear weapon development. They were disastrous, disastrous long-time communists and spies. And these American citizens, by the way, were tried as a result of investigations, and they were convicted of conspiracy to commit espionage in 1951 and put to death in the electric chair. And there were many people who said they were innocent. They were not innocent. Many stories came out afterwards by relatives and others proving beyond a reasonable doubt that they were absolute spies. And others captured in the conspiracy were included Ethel's brother David Greenglass, who supplied documents to Julius from Los Alamos and who served 10 years of his 15-year sentence. He was absolutely guilty. Harry Gold, who identified Green Glass and served 15 years in federal prison as the courier for Green Glass, and a German scientist, Klaus Fuchs, who served 9 years and 4 months. Now, this is the most important part of this little diversion here. Mark it down. In 1995, the United States government released a series of decoded Soviet cables, codenamed Venona, V-E-N-O-N-A. I had it on my radio show, the Venona Papers, back in 95. And these papers confirmed that Julius acted as a courier and recruiter for the Soviets. Did you understand this? Ethel's brother, David Greenglass, whose testimony had condemned her, later stated that he had lied about his sister to protect his own wife, Ruth, who had been the actual typist of the classified documents he stole, and that he was encouraged to do so by the prosecution itself. Morton Sobel, who was tried with the Rosenbergs, served 17 years and 9 months of a 30-year sentence. Now listen to this. In 2008, Sobel admitted he was a spy and stated that Julius Rosenberg had spied for the Soviets and that Ethel Rosenberg knew what he was doing. There's a lot more to this story. Just remember that Julius and Ethel Rosenbergs, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are still alive and well, from the highest office in the land down to the local garbage collector. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Okay, I correct myself when I make a mistake. My father taught me that a long time ago. It's okay to admit mistakes. Just admit them right up front. I made a mistake when the caller said, "You're the Thomas Paine of our time." And I said, "Well," he said, "give me liberty or give me death." He laughed. I'm wrong. My good friend Craig Smith, who's my longest sponsor in history with his great gold company, Swiss America, who listens to every word of this show, I don't know how he makes a living, said it was Patrick Henry who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Thanks, Craig. I appreciate it. And enjoy the Hellcat over the weekend. He also has a Hellcat. He said he's taking it out of his garage, and he's going to play that song I was playing and drive it fast in Arizona tonight because of the show. Okay, my friends? 855-407-282. Let's fire away. Nancy on WABC. Go ahead, please. Nancy, fire away. You're on the radio. Please talk.
I'm going. Dr. Savage, I think, with all due respect, you're incorrect about lives not being ruined by the investigations associated with HUAC. There were many, many actors that were blacklisted, as depicted in the movie The Front that you referred to, The Zero Mistake.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on now. I asked a very, very straightforward question. Which of those actors who were blacklisted were not, in fact, members of the Communist Party USA at the time, or, let us say, secretly associated with Communist parties at that time?
No, because we'll never know how extensive the blacklisting was.
Well, what about the blacklist that I'm living through for the last 22 years, the blacklist run by those wonderful descendants of those people in Hollywood right now? You know I am blacklisted, don't you? How do you feel about the current blacklist run by the vermin who run Hollywood and run the media? How about that blacklist? When have you last seen me on CNN? Let's hear about the current blacklist.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
A dream that is. Welcome to the program. As they say in the biz, the car is killer. Welcome to the program. Haven't driven it in 3 months, but in order to celebrate not celebrating Cinco de Mayo, I went on a long ride with the dog last night, and now I'm taking a long ride on the Savage Nation. And the best way to begin this hour is with something I haven't done yet, which is the Savage Nation Week in Review for the 3 days that preceded this one that I was on the air. As you know, I was off yesterday. Monday, May 2nd, whether you know it or not, we were in a civil war. We are in a civil war with Obama, bringing in so many illegals. He is conducting a civil war against America. I watched the protests at the Trump rally. Also watched the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I couldn't take it. I asked, who are the visionaries of today, like Frank Lloyd Wright? What will live 500 years from now, I asked. I then gave you Teddy Roosevelt's views on immigrants. I then told you about an article on dogs' hearts beating in sync with the owners. I asked you, is Obama a visionary? He has degraded America, not lifting us up. Not one correspondent screamed out at Obama's lies during the correspondents' dinner. And thanks to Obama, illegals are now getting more benefits than Social Security retirees. That was on Monday. Quite a day's work, wouldn't you say? Tuesday, May 3rd. Recent history of country shows that what Obama is doing to us is subversive. I asked, where have all the good men gone? I said that communists 30 years ago only dreamed about doing to this country what Obama has been doing for 7.5 years. I then said that people at the White House Correspondents' Dinner were little people. They are the ones who destroyed this nation. I then said, I'm going to use what time is left on the radio to expose what Obama is doing. It is not too late. On Wednesday, May 4th, I said, the Savage Nation is the revolution. We are the reason Trump won. I said, the media didn't vote for Trump. It wasn't Jake Tapper or Wolf Blitzer. It was the out-of-work factory worker in Indiana who voted for Trump. Savage was the only person in the media to support Trump from the beginning. First interview, 2011. Can't change history. Watch all those who've been attacking Trump suddenly pretend they've been for Trump. You'll see the turnaround before your eyes. The plastic conservatives. I then talked about an email from a friend who says that when Trump becomes president, I will become Trump's Al Sharpton, slipping in and out of the White House through the back through the back door. I don't know if that's true. It was funny, though. I then said everyone underestimated Trump, but they're not laughing today. And, oh, we did a few other things. And here we are. And I then, I think I sent a little message out to the Trump people, if they're still listening to the show. And I hope they are, because they're not there yet. They may have won the primary, but they haven't won the presidency. The battle's just beginning right now. And they need this audience more now than they did then, incidentally. They're going to need the Savage Nation more from that day forward, right up through the election, than they did in from zero to winning the primary. Because we have to sway the middle of the roaders, shall we call them the undecided, that he is the best hope to save America. And it's this show, amongst others, and I say this show more than others in many ways, that is going to have to do the job. Because how many other shows have actually supported Trump? What, now all of a sudden they're going to jump on the bandwagon and say they always supported Trump? Whatever they do is their business. I'll tell you what I've been doing. That's my business. So here we are. Then I set off a little verbal grenade show here on the program, or shall I say fireworks, by asking the question. I didn't ask the question. I said, I think that when Trump becomes president, we need a new UAC, House of Un-American Activities Committee. Now, many people call the show outraged and shocked, saying that while they agree with 90% of what I say, they don't agree with that because it ruined many lives. But I challenged this audience to call the show and name people whose lives it actually ruined, who were not actually active members of the Communist Party or fellow travelers of the Communist Party. And then I dug into the UAC story, and it was actually formed in 1938 to uncover those in America with Nazi ties, Nazi associations. And there was no outcry in America then. But why was there such an outcry in Hollywood and the media when it focused on communists? The answer is because the communists had infiltrated Hollywood and the media deeply, according to Soviet files that were secretly unearthed in 1996 or 95, called the Venona Papers. That's why. And then we talked about Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, who were spies, who did transfer atomic secrets to Russia, and they were executed, rightly so. And then I dared suggest that we do need to create a new UAC in an attempt to ferret out those with Islamist ties in this country. So what would be an Islamist tie? What does that mean? What would a congressional committee be seeking to discover in people they called before the new UAC, House of Un-American Activities Committee? You'd have to change the name for the liberals and the media would go insane. You'd have to call it something different like the Love America Committee. You know, use their tactics. The Love America Committee, the LAC, and the Love America Committee, the new LAC, would be seeking to find the Islamists in the national security agencies, the Secret Service, the FBI, you name it, because we all know that there are penetrations all the way up to the highest level. And then we talked about other things that are quite controversial, but why not? Why not? Must we avoid controversy entirely in talk radio? Let's take some calls. WABC Ernie, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I'm of an age where I actually knew communists, and they were looking for a new way because if you didn't notice it, capitalism wasn't doing too well, and capitalism wasn't meeting the needs of the people, so they were looking for something new. And some of these people had no more idea of hurting America than you and I. They just wanted to make things work so that they could get jobs, that they can be employed.
Gee, it sounds like Bernie Sanders. But Ernie, you know, there's a saying that goes with what you're saying, which is called the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
When you start stifling ideas, you don't have America. You have something else that's not America.
Well, who's saying we should stifle ideas?
I said
what we want to do is investigate organizations and people who may have deep ties to Islamist front groups. Where is that stifling ideas?
Because you're another point of view. I don't want to listen to another.
Well, what do you mean another point of view? You mean fronting for those who want to introduce Sharia law in America, where they kill homosexuals and put women in burqas? Is it an un-American idea?
It's a totally un-American idea for those people in our society, but they're not here. They're imaginary. They're not here.
Oh, they're imaginary? Have you ever looked at CAIR's work, C-A-I-R, or any of the other Islamist front groups in this country? If you actually read the literature, you would find out there are quite a few groups that have openly espoused taking us back 500 years.
I know, they're called Republicans. That's where we're going.
Now you're doing jump cuts that don't make any sense. So you don't see any threat from Islamists in America. You think it's a myth.
I think there's threats all the time from everywhere. But America is a very dangerous place to live. Liberty and freedom is a dangerous place to live in. And what you want to do is suppress anything that frightens you.
I didn't want to suppress it. I want to find them out and put them in prison. I'm not looking to suppress them. I'd like to find out who the Islamists are in our intelligence agencies who are crippling our military and crippling our police. What is wrong with that idea? Why is it that our men can't go to war and kill the enemy without wondering if they're going to get arrested when they come back from the battlefield? Is that a way to fight a war? It's why we're not winning. Because Obama has crippled the military with his rules of engagement.
Our soldiers come back and get arrested because they fought in the war?
My friend, I have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for U.S. Marines who were court-martialed for things they didn't do on the battlefield because they fired a little too quickly and killed the enemy before getting killed. I can cite one case after the other of American Marines who were imprisoned by George Bush, beginning with George Bush, for being a little too good as a battler, as a warrior, and not getting killed or maimed first. Yes, my friend. I think that you're a very good man, Ernie, who means well and thinks that you do mean well. But you actually are a very dangerous man because it's your naivete that has imprisoned us. It is your naivete that imprisons us with fear. The fear of uncovering those who are working in the halls of Congress itself to undermine both our national and our domestic security, Ernie. I would send you a copy of Government Zero if you would agree to at least read it. Would you do that?
Do I read? I read more than...
No, I didn't say... I said, would you agree to read a copy of my book, Government Zero, if I sent it to you, or is that too radical for you?
Oh, I don't give a damn about radical. I read the most radical stuff in the world.
But again, you're not answering the question. If I sent you a free copy of the book, would you agree to read it?
Yes. I would.
It took you a while to answer. I thought you're into liberty and freedom. You were even worried about... I thought you're into freedom and freedom of the press. I think that when you read Government Zero and you read Chapter 3, Zero Strategy Against ISIS, and you see the subtitles, Islam Woven into the Fabric of America, are you kidding? Etc. I think that you'll learn things. Zero military, zero education, zero immigration, zero religion. You'll get a different view of the world. And it ends with saving a nation with what? Nationalism. Now, Ernie, are you afraid of the word nationalism?
Nationalism is, you know, I was in the military. I don't think you were, but I was.
And I understand. So therefore, you know everything. A lot of people were in the military who are morons.
The premise that I come from is that I usually don't know enough.
That's good to know. So why are you afraid of nationalism?
When you come on the air, you tell people you know everything. This is the way it is. This is the way it came down on the tablets. Well, I don't know that.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. You have the correct cynical approach to anything that you hear. But if you read my book, which concludes with saving a nation with nationalism, and you see the references I make, would you be willing to at least analyze what I say?
Well, you know,
no answer. You know, you remind me of Talmudic scholars who will never answer a question, but you start by asking another question. So I'm not going to send you the book. I'll tell you what, I'll send you a book you don't have to think about called Teddy and Me. It's nice pictures of me and my dog. Will that threaten you as well?
I don't know. I'm a little afraid of dogs.
You're great. All right, Ernie, thanks for calling. No books, nothing. Nothing. I'll give you a free ticket to Carvel. You can go get yourself a double Sunday on ice. Saving a Nation with Nationalism, Abandoning Conservatism. That's an interesting chapter ending. And then it concludes with Nationalism versus Conservativism. Did you ever see that subheading in my book? You know what I wrote? I wrote, Conservatism has come to mean almost nothing other than pro-business. Those who call themselves conservatives today have adopted the laissez-faire rhetoric of the old classical liberals, but they don't really want laissez-faire. They don't propose to dismantle the massive regulatory structure built up by progressives over the past century and allow true laissez-faire competition. Instead, they seek to... Anyway, I don't want to read you my book. I want you to understand that there's a lot more thought that goes into my rhetoric than you may think. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. People are calling the show saying that my statements on UAC are offensive, they're too radical, they agree with me 90% of the time, but not on this. Well, when I started to talk about borders, language, and culture and nationalism, the same reaction occurred. And now that America's finally moved to my position on borders, language, and culture, and they see where I want to go next, now they're getting frightened all over again. But whether I'm on the radio or not, in years to come, mark my words. Mark my words, there will be a UAC of the future. And when you find out how many elements and how high up the penetration by Islamists has gone, you'll say that guy was a prophet. But I don't expect you to understand that today. Visionaries often are misunderstood in their own time. Now let me give an example of where we are in this country. Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, as you know, is a vile hater of Americans. He just called Trump voters lazy drunks. These are the friends of Hillary Clinton. These are the friends of Nancy Pelosi. Article just came out. Pelosi and Vicente Fox plot to defeat Trump. Mexican calls Trump voters lazy drunks. Latin America's toughest critic of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. This is written by Paul Bedard and Paul Longuil of the Washington Examiner. Spent 30 minutes with the extremely honest, clean as the driven snow, Nancy Pelosi in Mexico this week, plotting to help the Democrats defeat the businessman and give the presidency to Hillary Clinton. In an exclusive interview with the Washington Examiner Friday, former Mexican President Vicente Fox said that he's a fan of Clinton, blah, 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 blah. He disparaged Trump supporters as lazy, uneducated TV-watching drunks. He called you lazy, uneducated TV-watching drunks. If ever you needed an example of the hatred and racism and bigotry of individuals in very high places about those of us in America who love the country, there's no better example than this. WDGJ, New York. Joe, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Listen, I have a point to make about the House Un-American Activity Committee dating back to Father Coughlin, Roy Cohn, and Senator McCarthy's era, okay? The example I want to bring up is a most famous actor, my favorite actor in my life. I'm 70 years old. A man named Jacob Garfinkel, who died at the age of 39 on the night before he was to testify in front of that committee. Okay? I don't know if you're familiar with the name Jacob Garfinkel.
So what is it? Wait. So your point is when he had no association with any subversive groups like communists and he killed himself?
Him from his art. I have never read of his association with any subversive.
Right, well, then maybe there were individuals who were harmed who were innocent. Maybe he's one of them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Missionaries are often misunderstood in their own time, and let me tell you something. It's a tough road that I'm going down right now, because I think we should create a Love America Committee, an LAC, and I think that we should investigate those with Islamist ties, and I think it should be done very carefully, and that innocent people should be given all the protections that they are afforded by the U.S. Constitution. However, I wouldn't overdo it, because many of the boll weevils in our government and in our media are using these very protections that they have been afforded in order to undermine this nation. Having said that, I just researched this whole issue during my break, and there's nobody faster than me in the history of the media to do a search. It comes from my science background. I know how to load an algorithm in letters. So I loaded this algorithm under Google. Which innocent individuals were destroyed by UAC? It's an interesting algorithm. You have to know what to load to get, you know, what you're looking for. So what pops up is, right off the bat, an answer from, of all places, the Spartacus League. The Spartacus League is amongst the most radical communist organization in the United States of America. Spartacus educational website has the most to say against HUAC. That should tell you an awful lot right there about the Red List, you see. And when you read the site, you'll see why Spartacus, the Spartacus League, fears the return of a UAC-like organization, because they would be uncovered and they would be deported from the United States of America for what they've done to this country. But let's put that aside for a minute. The Alien Registration Act was passed by Congress on the 29th of June, 1940, and it made it illegal for anyone in the U.S. to advocate, abet, or teach the desirability of overthrowing the government. The law also required that all alien residents in the United States over 14 years of age to file a comprehensive statement of their personal and occupational status and a record of their political beliefs. According to the Spartacus League, the main objective of the Alien Registration Act was to undermine the American Communist Party and other left-wing political groups in the United States. Now, as I said to you, the House of Un-American Activities Committee was originally set up by Congress in 1938 to investigate people suspected of aiding and abetting the Nazis in the United States of America. But the Spartacus filth leave that out of their little discussion. Originally set up to uncover the Nazi sympathizers and activists in the United States of America. But again, the radicals in the Spartacus League, in other words, the Bernie, whatever his name is, Sanders types, leave that out of this discussion. Then we go into the Hollywood motion picture industry. Boy, is this a ripe discussion. The Hollywood motion picture industry. And so HUAC named a number of individuals. Bertolt Brecht, names you wouldn't remember if I read them. Dalton Trumbo, Ring Lardner Jr. Well, they refused to answer any questions, and they were known as the Hollywood Ten. They claim that the First Amendment of the United States Constitution gave them the right to do this, and they're right. And that's why so many members of Obama's administration have copped to the First Amendment. And like gangsters, they took the Fifth, by the way. Have you ever lived through a time in America when people who ran the IRS, who were under investigation for crimes against innocent civilians, would take the Fifth Amendment instead of answering questions and they're not put in jail? That's what's happened under your hero of liberalism, Barack Obama. They took the Fifth Amendment. Do you know how many members of Obama's administration have gone before Congress not to investigate their, let us say, sympathies with organizations that would undermine America, but to investigate their actual activities against innocent Americans? And they copped to the Fifth Amendment. And yet nothing happened to them. They could have been found guilty of contempt of Congress. And they could have been sentenced to between 6 and 12 months in prison. But the spineless plastic conservatives in the Republican Party did not do this. So it's a big question. Many of you will say, well, look, Mike, you don't believe in a blacklist, do you? Oh, no, not at all. What? How come none of you have rushed to my defense since I've been blacklisted by Fox, CNN, and all the major channels? How come you don't care about that blacklist? How come you don't care, all of you plastic conservatives out there, that I'm the only member of the American media banned from entering Britain for statements I didn't even say? Where were you when I needed you? The answer is nowhere, because you're all plastic conservatives. You're the very plastic conservatives that you blast every day on television and in your writings. No, so the real threat to Donald Trump is not going to come from the Hillary Clinton acolytes. You'd expect that. The real threat to Donald Trump is going to come from those who sneered him, put him down, call him every name under the book from the time he started to run right until the time he won. The plastic conservatives are the real threat to Donald Trump beating Hillary Clinton for the presidency. And make no mistake about it, you got to watch very carefully, you got to read very carefully, and you will see that I'm 100% right. Of course you're going to expect the smear to continue of Donald Trump coming from the typical sources of smearing. But where were you when I was banned? Where are you now that I'm blacklisted? Do you know about the blacklist that goes on in the media right now? You still live in the 50s. Oh, that was a terrible time. So many lives were ruined by McCarthy. How many lives are being ruined right now by Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg? And shall I say, the great patriot, Harvey Weinstein. They run their own sort of blacklist, don't they? Either you conform to their political viewpoints or you don't work in Hollywood. Yes, there's an active blacklist. Ask anyone in Hollywood and see if I'm making it up. Writers, directors, scenarists, you name them. They cannot get work if they express their true political beliefs. It's run like like with an iron fist by Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and the one or two agencies run by Ovitz and run by Rahm Emanuel's brother. They control the entire entertainment business. And either you are online with them, either you support Obama and Hillary, or you don't work in Hollywood. You have to be like a Marano. You have to hide your political affiliation. You have to be like the Jews of Spain and Portugal, who had to pretend they were Catholics, or else they were executed. So there are your liberals of today, Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein. They are the new Hollywood 10, only in reverse. They let nobody work who has any political beliefs that differ from theirs. And so where is your outcry today with this blacklist? Or how about in my industry of radio? How about the blacklists against men like me and Rush Limbaugh and others whose advertising is blocked by agencies whose political beliefs differ from those of ours that we espouse? Do you know anything about these days, what we live through? Are you aware of the blacklist that we live with every day of our lives? That people who want to advertise on our show cannot, because the agencies that control the advertising will not let them buy ads on our show? Do you know anything about that? Everybody in the business knows there's a thing called a no-buy list. And some of us are on those lists. We'd rather not be. We feel we're part of the dialogue. We feel that Trump's ascension to the nomination indicates that there are far more of us than there are of them. And yet, this industry is controlled by only a few individuals. And if they hate your politics, you don't get the advertising. How about that blacklist? So please stop telling me about the 1950s and start telling me about today and the blacklist that many of us live with. And then I'll understand that you understand the world we live in has changed an awful lot in some ways and that the circle has come around. KSFO, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I just want to say one thing. Thank you for saving me. Former, I was a staunch Democrat. Tell me to listen to your program. They weren't.
All right, Tom, I'm sorry, Tom, you're breaking up because he's a good guy. And couldn't hear him. It is the Savage Nation. What would you like to talk about? Because time is short. It's Friday, for God's sakes. It's what time is it already? I can't believe it. 43 minutes after the hour. That means on the East Coast, it's already a quarter to six. Normal people aren't even listening to the radio anymore. They went home. All my stations on the East Coast, they're already doing something else for Friday night. They're not listening to politics. So maybe I'll lighten it up a bit. Should I lighten it up? Raise your hand if you want me to lighten it up. Shall I give you the light, Mike? I think what I'll do when I come back from my finale today on the show is I will take you on a day off with Michael Savage and tell you what I did. And then you'll see if I am really the man you think I am or somebody else. All this and more and the latest news right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I met a kid in the U.S. Marines the other day. I don't know where I was looking at a boat. Active service Marines. I said, how many of the enemy did you kill? He got so happy. He said, man, do I wish we had a commanding officer like you. Well, you don't. By the way, folks, if you follow me on the show and you love my Facebook stuff, I found a picture that I just put up, Vintage Savage on KSFO Radio with Pat Buchanan in the late 90s. You'll get a picture of me. And if you focus in on the writing that is on my board, you'll see that I'm pretty consistent in what I'm saying and how hard I work at what I do. There are page after page of notes for my shows that I write out by longhand, along the lines of some very famous former president, that it all just doesn't come out of the air. I work real hard at what I do, and luckily I'm good at it. Don on line 7, fire away from KVOR in Colorado. What's on your mind, Don?
I train a lot of military, special forces, contractors, police. We've always supported everybody, talk show hosts. And right now, you're the only one we support. You're the only one we listen to. We've abandoned everybody else. And we don't believe in anybody else. And you're the only one that has supported Trump from the start. And that's how you won a bunch of us over.
I can't say anything other than thank you.
Well,
all I can say is thank you. And let me send you, can I send you a case of Government Zero for all your friends in the special ops?
I would love it.
All right. Don, listen to me. Send it to Sarah, Robert, Jim, to Doug. Tell him I want a case for Special Forces going out. A whole case of Government Zero. God, do they work for this, for the freedoms of this country. Now, you know, I made a statement earlier that there's a blacklist that's ongoing right now, and you think that it's just hyperbole, don't you? Oh, he's successful. He's making it up. He's no victim. All right, let me prove it to you. I'm a multiple best-selling author. Now, normally, a best-selling author is a slam dunk for a publicist to get you on a radio or TV show. If you're an unknown author, it's terrible, hard. Best-selling author, one after the other, bango, number one book after the other, New York Times list. Let me read you which shows took this show. Newsmax TV, Steve Malzberg. KSFO Radio with the morning show. Larry King, Aura TV. ChristianMoney.com. WND.com. That's it. That's it. That's the whole list right there. No other show will book this show because I'm on the blacklist. I'm Zero Mostel. I'm the guy who you read about in the 1950s who lived through the Inquisition called UAC. What you don't realize is that UAC is functioning right now and it is run by the media moguls that you detest because they are exactly what you think they are. They are worse than McCarthy ever was because McCarthy was a war hero number one. He was actually a tail gunner. And this is so ironic. He was Senator McCarthy from the 50s, who was an actual war hero. He had one of the most dangerous positions in the U.S. Air Force, the Army Air Force. He was a belly gunner on a bomber. And he survived that. And the vermin in the media called him Tail Gun Joe, like that was a something to laugh at. Does it sound familiar to you? Tail Gun Joe, they called him, because it was a joke to have been a hero in World War II to all of the wonderful people in Hollywood and in New York. So anyway, he comes out, becomes a congressman, and he creates UAC because he's concerned about the communist infiltration in America in the media. Well, the rest is history, of course. The Hollywood turned on him. They made him the enemy because they were covering for themselves and their friends. So all I dare do today, and watch the ramifications on Monday, I hope I'm still on the air on Monday, was say that we should create the equivalent of UAC called an LAC, the Love America Committee. And I think we need hearings starting in January of 2017, and we need to find out which people in government in particular are, let us say, front men or front women for Islamist groups. Now, who would argue with that? Why would you not want to know who in the intelligence agencies or in the military are functioning as front groups for Islamist groups? Why would you not want to know that? We all need to have an explanation as to why the men are told not to pull the trigger. We need to find out why we haven't won the war against ISIS. We need to try to figure out why it's taken longer than to defeat the Nazis. Why is Obama not putting full force against ISIS? Why are the rule engagements so onerous on our men that the other side is not really losing? And by the way, they say, well, the tide has turned against them. They've lost territory. That was only after old Putin started to bomb the heck out of them. Then Obama was forced to do something, which is why he and the media hate Putin, because he showed Obama up for what he actually is and where his sympathies probably lie. And if you notice that Putin has stopped the battle against ISIS, has anyone noticed that? Has anyone written about that? I have, in my own head. Why has Putin stopped the war against ISIS? Well, there's a couple of reasons for that, which I will go into on Monday, God willing, with God's will and your listenership. It's a long weekend coming up, and boy, I've got a lot that I have to do. Mainly, I have to think about what I want to do next week. But I've just given you an example of shows that have booked this this best-selling author for his new book, Teddy and Me, and there's only two or three. It's not because the book isn't inherently interesting. The same thing happened with Government Zero, which became a runaway bestseller. Why wouldn't they book the book? Because I'm on a blacklist. Pay careful attention to what I just said. I am blacklisted by ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, and MSNBC. Why have you never seen me on Fox News, even though I'm a best-selling author? Even though I'm one of the most prominent talk show hosts in America, why do you never see me? Why do they put unknown talk show hosts on talk show host? Yeah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Well, I didn't get around to what I wanted to get around to, but I got around to an awful lot that I wanted to get around to.